on. It's an interesting morning, to say the least. It's good to see everybody out, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you this morning. I was trying to think, you know, what did I speak on this morning? So, I'm sure you've heard the phrase a lot this time of year. It's the most wonderful time of the year. And I would like to look at that in a little more detail. Why do you think people say that? Why do you think people feel like it's the most wonderful time of the year? Is it because people are nice to us? Everybody's in a good mood? People are scurrying around? There's a lot of family get-togethers? We're all getting a lot of presents? Is that why it's the most wonderful time of the year? Well, a lot of people think that's why it's the most wonderful time of the year. But I want to look at a little bit more. Why? What kind of happiness is that? Well, I suggest to you that it's very temporary. It's very shallow. It only lasts a few days. And a few days after your birthday or after a holiday, you think, okay, so what do I get now to make me happy? That lasted for just a little bit of time. Or the scriptures tell us that rust and moth corrupts things pretty quickly. And that's what happens with worldly, earthly things when we try to use those to make us happy. So how do you find true, deep, long-lasting happiness as a Christian that's not dependent on birthdays or holidays? Well, let's look to the wisest, richest man that ever lived. And, of course, that was Solomon. In Ecclesiastes, the second chapter, He says, here's all the things that I tried to use and to get to make me happy. I tried wine, made me great works, building me houses, vineyards, gardens, orchards, trees, pools of water. If you think of the nicest house or villa that you've ever seen, Solomon's was probably way, way better than that. He said, I got me servants and maidens. Can you imagine having servants in your house and you just snap your finger or call to somebody and they bring you whatever you want? He had all the servants and maids that he needed. He had great and small cattle. He had silver and gold, peculiar treasures. If you've ever traveled much or looked at some very large estates, and you see something in there that's like, wow, look at that table or look at that lamp. Like, what a peculiar treasure that is. Well, he had anything and everything that you could think of that was a peculiar treasure. He had men singers and women singers. He had musical instruments. I remember going into a museum one time and they had, I think it was like 8 Stradivarius violins in this one museum. I was like, wow, I've never even seen one. Here's 8 in this one museum. That was kind of like what Solomon had. It was just kind of beyond belief sometimes. I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. My wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. Can you imagine just whatever you see, it's okay, I want that, I want that, I want that, I want that, and you can get it. It whether it's a car or a house, clothes, whatever. But that's what Solomon did to try to make himself happy. And then we see he looked on all the works that his hands had wrought, and all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. The wisest, richest man ever said, I had it all. And it was vanity and vexation of spirit. That didn't really make me happy. That's not what made me happy. And he said in verse 24 of chapter 2, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This I saw also, it was from the hand of God. In other words, if I have enough to eat and I have a roof over my head and heat this morning, I am very blessed, and I'm happy. All these other things are just, they're not really necessary. to make me truly happy. And the verse that we're all familiar with in the last chapter of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. He said, this is what really will give you long-lasting happiness. So what are these commandments that will make us happy? Let's look at a few of those. In Matthew chapter 22, Christ, or the lawyer, Pharisee lawyer, said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So here's the two greatest commandments. How can they make me happy? And what's the focus here? Obviously, the focus is on love. But how do we love? What's the essence of love? And that's what I want to focus on for a minute here, is it's giving. The more I give, the happier I am. Because giving is love. But we ask people, did you have a good birthday? Did you have a good holiday? What did you get? And that's the way we measure happiness. What did I get? And that's going to make me happy. Well, a better question would be, what did you give? The older you get, I know there's a lot of us senior citizens out there that the older you get, you really don't care about what you get. You care about what you give to others, especially the younger children. And that sees them very, very happy. So it's like, what did I give? And that's what makes me happy, as opposed to what do I get? But it's easy to fall into that trap. What did I get? And is that going to make me happy? And then in the verse that was read, and I appreciate that, in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. So what does that verse mean? Does it mean that, well, if I give somebody some money, I'm going to get a whole lot of money back? No. God knows exactly what we need, and he knows what's best for us. But he said, with the same measure or the same amount that you give, that's what you're going to get back. And it may be completely different. If you give somebody a little bit of money or give somebody some time or give somebody a cheerful word, whatever it is, you're going to get that same amount back in some way, somehow, and God will give you exactly what you need because he knows what's best for you. He knows that if he gave you a pile of money, that might not be the best thing for you. But he might give you good health. He might give you a longer life. So, but he didn't say you probably will or you might. He said you will receive that. And God knows what we need. So giving, not getting, is what brings us true happiness. We look at the Beatitudes. And the word blessed is used throughout the Beatitudes. What does blessed mean? It means happy. So here's how to be happy. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So the poor in spirit, that means to be humble, to give priority to others, to put others above self. And when you think about people that you're drawn to, people that you'd like to be around, you like to be around people that are humble, that when you ask them, how are you doing? They say, well, how are you doing? In other words, I'm more concerned about you than I am about myself. That's the kind of people that you love to be around, as opposed to, well, how are you doing? And then 15 minutes later, you go through all their ailments. And sometimes that's okay. They need somebody to listen to them. So happy are you when you're humble, when you give others priority. It's another example of giving. Another beatitude in verse 6 of Matthew 5. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So when you give your time and energy to study God's Word, there's nothing great that will give you greater satisfaction than doing that, to immerse yourself in God's Word and the characters and the stories in the Bible. There is so much negative stuff in our world today. We need to get away from that and take time and immerse ourselves in God's Word. And then we'll truly, number one, it'll get us away from the negative. Number two, it will reinforce the positive things, the happy things that God is giving us each and every day. Didn't advance there. Let's see. Okay. In Acts 20, we see, it says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Paul is saying this, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Most people in our world today say the opposite. What can I get? I need to get something to make me happy. And the Lord said, you'll be happier if you give more than you receive. Now, what kind of giving is that? It might be our time just to help some. Maybe somebody needs some help with yard work or housework or whatever. I'm going to give them a little bit of time. It might be an ear to listen to them. And when you ask them, how are you doing? And they've got all kinds of problems, listen to them. And be compassionate and sympathetic. That can mean the world to people that really need something. And giving the gospel message to those that are lost. There's nothing better than to give the gospel, give the truth that can save that person's soul. You can't give anything better. That's worth more than silver and gold. And it might be some money. Maybe somebody's in financial need. You may not have a whole lot of money to give, but whatever you can give them, if you have the opportunity and the ability, it might be that you're giving to them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Think about that. Obviously, it's talking here about giving a contribution here. But I think the same principle applies. That when you give, and when you give cheerfully, what happens? God loves you. What better being could we have to love us than God? And what a special relationship when I'm giving like that, and I can say, God loves me. Not that I'm not going to break my arm, pat myself on the back. But God loves me because I'm doing His Word. I'm trying to help somebody else. That should be a fantastic feeling that we have when we're giving and helping someone else. We know the example of the widow's mite in Matthew chapter 12. And people focus on the smallness or the amount here, as opposed to a couple of other things that I think are even more important than the widow's mite. First of all, a mite was a fraction of a penny. It was the smallest denomination at that time of anything that anybody could have. So we think of a penny today as the smallest thing that we can have. This is a fraction of a penny. So she's going in, and people are putting all their gifts into the treasury. And this was probably some kind of free will offering. And they were putting in large amounts. But they were putting it in out of their abundance. In other words, they could afford to do that. What did she give? She gave all that she had. Whether or not that was all she had to live on for that day, or that week, or that month, or all of her living, she gave it all. And Jesus recognized that, and he said, she gave more than anybody else. And why is that? First of all, she loved the offering and the sacred cause, putting this in the treasury for the cause of the Lord.
She loved that. She wanted to do that, or she wouldn't have done that. She had more self-denial, and she had more sincerity. And she trusted God to provide for her. One of my first reactions when I first started studying this years ago was, so what did she live on if she gave everything that she had? She wasn't concerned about that. God will take care of me. As long as I'm giving, whether it's my money, my time, God, you know, how often do we make the excuses of, well, I don't have time to go visit so-and-so, or to call so-and-so, or to do something for so-and-so, but I've got time to do everything else. She said, I'm going to give it all. Everything that I possibly can is what I'm going to do, because it's that important to me. And it's based on what she gave, what did she get? Well, think of it for a second. Her story is written here in the Bible for all times, for everybody, forever to read about. Her example. Wasn't that a great gift? I'm sure she wasn't expecting that. But it's in there because it's such a great example of giving all. And it's an example for us today, for giving all. And God knows what you give. It doesn't, the amount does not matter. He knows what you give, and He knows what your sacrifices are. And that's actually more valuable than any praise or reward that we might get from an earthly standpoint. Have you ever carried someone's school books? There was a gentleman that years after he'd been out of school, he ran into one of his classmates. And he started talking to him, how you doing? And his classmate said, I want to thank you. And the guy says, for what? He said, you saved my life. And he said, well, saved your life? What are you talking about? He said, that day when we rode the school bus home, said, I had cleaned out my locker, and I had a pile of books that I was struggling to carry. I got off the bus, and I dropped a bunch of the books. And you picked a bunch of them up and carried them home to my home and talked to me while I was on the way home and walked me into my house. He said, I had cleaned out my locker that day. I was going to take my life because I felt like nobody cared about me. And you showed me that somebody cared enough to pick up my books, to help me carry them home, and to talk to me. You saved my life because I was going to take it. We never know what little act of kindness might save somebody's life. We never know what condition they're in. It may be a kind word. It may be a card in the mail. It may be a phone call. It may be a visit. But you can literally save someone's life, and especially spiritually, if they're struggling spiritually. That's what giving is all about. But you might say, well, I don't have a whole lot of money to give. That's okay. There are a lot of things that are more valuable than money. Like I said, it might be a kind word at the worship services. It might be a telephone call. How you doing? We missed you Sunday or Wednesday. Are you okay? What can I do to help you? It might be a card in the mail. How many times have you gotten a card in the mail and you're like, wow, somebody actually did miss me. Wow, somebody actually does care about me. And you treasure that. And you might even keep the card and put it in your file and look at it every once in a while. That, yeah, people really do care and really do love me. It might be a hug. It might be just somebody needs a hug when you see them. It might be some food. Maybe they're struggling. Maybe they don't have enough food. Or maybe they've had a death in the family or some a tragedy. And you bring them a little bit of food, something to eat. It's not necessarily the food. It's the fact that you came and gave them something, and they have something to know that. And as they every time they see that, they think somebody really cared for me, and they gave something to me. Or it might just be that listening ear. They are really concerned. They listen to me. They truly care about what's going on here. How many times have we said this? I give and I give and I give. Oh, what about me? I need something too. What do I get in return if I just keep? And I know a lot of you are or have been caregivers. And you give and you give and you give. And there are times you're kind of out of giving. And you think, well, what about me? Who's going to take care of me? Who's going to do something nice for me? When we do that, and I'm not saying that that's not a normal feeling, and we've all said it, and we've all done it, but when we're doing that, we're focusing on, maybe it's I'm just struggling financially and nobody's helping me, I need some kind of financial help, or nobody listens to me, I need some sympathy, or I've just got some overwhelming problems. What about me? So we need to realize when we're saying that to ourselves, we're focusing on worldly, earthly things and earthly emotions as opposed to what really is important. God sees us every minute of every day. He knows exactly what we need, and He gives that to us. If we ask Him in prayer, He gives us exactly what we need. In Matthew chapter 5, again, back to the Beatitudes, I'm happy. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which are before you. So maybe I go through this life and I'm struggling financially, I'm struggling emotionally, I'm struggling physically, but I make it to heaven. And I look back and I think, it really didn't matter. Somebody didn't help me, I made it to heaven. That's the reward that God promises us, that you'll make it to heaven. Whatever you have to go through will seem very tiny compared to that great, fantastic reward that God has for us. We might think that, you know, look at all the trials and tribulations that Paul went through. He bound to have been the most miserable man in the whole world. They beat him, left him for dead, you name it, they did it to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. What is my reward then? Verily that, when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Have you ever studied with someone and they obeyed the gospel? How did you feel? There is no greater feeling than to see, and it's not what you just brought the truth to them. It's the truth that convicted them. But there is no greater feeling than to see someone that you have taught, that you have given the truth, the gospel to obey the gospel and to save their soul. No, nothing greater in the world. That is a reward that you get when you're giving the truth. And that's what Paul said. That's why he could pick himself up and they left him for dead, go on into the next town. They beat him up there, pick himself up. He'd just keep preaching, keep teaching, because he knew he was going to save people. And he was willing to do whatever it took to save people. Of course, Jesus Christ is our ultimate example of giving. He truly gave his all. There are many times he spent the whole night in prayer. People just, they followed him. They wouldn't let him go because they wanted to be healed. It's like he never seemed to have a moment by himself. But he didn't care. He gave his all, gave his time, gave his energy, his love, his compassion. And then finally he gave his life on the cross so that we, and his blood, so that we might have the perfect sacrifice that washes our sins away. Jesus Christ is the ultimate example of giving. So I want to challenge you, and I'm challenging myself too. Every day, for 1 week, give something to someone else and see how you feel. It might be just a kind word at the worship services. It might be a phone call, a card. We can all pray. It doesn't cost anything to pray. And there's a truly great benefit from that. Give prayer for others, for yourself, for your family members. Give yourself a gift of time to study God's Word. Give someone an invitation to study God's Word or to attend worship services. Again, the greatest gift that you give somebody else is to bring them to the Lord and to have their souls saved, their sins washed away. And as you do this each day, see how truly happy you really are. Now, I'm confident we've got a lot of great givers in here already. So I challenge you to add a little bit more to what you're already giving. And again, see how that multiplies your happiness. And pretty soon you won't be focusing on what I don't have or how bad things are because I'm so busy giving to somebody else and helping somebody else. Then you'll truly, truly be happy. Of course, the greatest thing that you can do is to give your life to Christ. If you haven't done that this morning, you have an opportunity to give your life to Christ, to take advantage of what He has given us, this great sacrifice on the cross, and have your sins washed away, and have that hope of eternal life in heaven with Him because of what He gave. Give yourself that gift, and then you'll truly be happy. So we encourage you to come as we stand and sing.